2 Chronicles 7 and 14, as I said, a scripture that we should all know. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you today. We thank you for this service. We have been blessed so tremendously already. But now, Lord, we ask you to help us through the word today. Help us through the word. Let this word find a place in our hearts today to encourage, to strengthen, to equip, to empower. Holy Spirit, we need you. We can't do anything without you. You're the illuminator. You're the revelator. So we ask you to do this today. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, have you ever heard this phrase? Well, it's about time. Now, it usually comes as an expression of surprise on the other end of a statement like, I'm going to get my hair cut today. Well, it's about time. Or something like this, I'm getting rid of these old tennis shoes. Well, it's about time. Or, I'm going to clean up the garage today. Well, it's about time. Or I'm going to wash the car today. Well, it's about time. Or I'm going to mow the lawn today. Well, it's about time. I don't know about your house, but I know about my house. Right after I say I'm going to do something good, like I just mentioned, I don't usually hear, well, that's great. All right. Wonderful. I usually get, well, it's about time. Now, if you wonder what the title of this message is, well, it's about time. Now, I know what I just said and what I've just mentioned, it's kind of funny, I know. But what I want to talk to you about today, it's really very serious. It's not funny at all. In fact, it's extremely serious. Because I believe today, if we could hear the audible voice of God speaking from heaven, we may be hearing him say to us, well, it's about time. Well, what time is it? 2 Chronicles 7:14 said, it's time to pray. If my people which are called by my name humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. What time is it, Lord? It's about time to pray. In 1 Chronicles 12 and 22, the Bible says this. It says, for at that time, day by day, there came to David to help him until it was a great host like the host of God. And then as you read on down through that chapter, it mentions the different tribes of Israel and the many thousands of individuals of fighting men that came from each tribe to join David. And that's why the Bible says they came to him day by day until there was a great host like the host of God. So there were multiplied thousands of people that joined David's army. And many of them, very courageous, many of them were highly skilled soldiers in his army. many were highly skilled in different areas of warfare, and they had their own abilities and their own skills. But then David had in his army this very small group called the sons of Issachar. They were not skilled warriors, but they did have a weapon. And their weapon was, they, according to the scriptures, understood times and seasons. That was their skill. That was their ability. That was their warfare tactic. They understood seasons and times. And listen to this. Because they had an understanding of times, they knew exactly what to do at exactly the right time. That's amazing. Because we can do the right thing at the wrong time, and it'd be just as damaging as doing the wrong thing. So this was their ability. And it was a God-given ability. Today we could reference it as being the gift of discernment. The ability to discern things in the spirit. The ability to discern the times that we're in. And I believe one of the most important things in your life and in my life is knowing the season that we're in and knowing what to do in that season. Now, our survival today is being determined by our ability to discern the times that we're in and not just be able to understand or discern the times, because anybody that's got one eye and half sense can look around and tell that our world is in a bad way. It doesn't take a lot of prophetic insight to be able to look around and tell that things are really bad. Things are not looking good. But it does take some understanding, spiritual understanding and prophetic insight to not only be able to judge how bad things are, but to know what to do in those bad times. So many people respond spontaneously to pressures around them. They just automatically, instantly react. And usually, when people react spontaneously, it's usually the wrong reaction. Because usually what's happening is you're reacting out of your feelings, or you're reacting out of human emotions and human logic. And that's why the sons of Issachar were so important. They were David's secret weapon, because they had a high level of discernment that came from God. Yeah. Everybody say, Lord, give me discernment.
Give me discernment.
I believe this is probably one of the most necessary, important things in our lives today, is that we have the working of the Holy Spirit in us and discerning, giving us the ability to discern things, discern the culture, discern the environment, discern what's happening in the realm of the Spirit. How many knows that we're in spiritual warfare today?
Amen.
The war is raging. You know, it's, and I'm going to get on my soapbox for a minute. But some people will say that this is just so little and it's not really anything you should be even mentioning. But I'm going to. When I go to the store, I go to Walmart, and I go through the aisle of the paper towels and the toilet paper, and I see this toilet paper package, and there's 9 rolls in it, but it says equals 36. I look at that and I say, liar. I say that. I say, that's a lie. That means you could line 36 rolls up down the aisle, and it would equal what was in that package. I said, I am not that dumb. No way. But that's what it says. Now, you say, well, Pastor, that shouldn't even be mentioned. You've got to understand something. We are at war. This is psychological warfare. They're trying to make you believe what we tell you, not what you see. Believe what we tell you, not what you know. 2 and 2 don't make 4 anymore. 2 and 2 make 6. That's what we say, so that's the way it is. Liar. They say those people, they're up there, they're gaslighting the people. Why don't you just say what it is? They're lying. They're lying. And what I'm saying to you is this. It is a spiritual warfare. It's an assault upon our intelligence. It's an assault upon our mind. It's an assault. And I'm going to tell you, it disturbs my spirit. Because I know that it's not just a physical, natural thing. They're trying to reformat our whole process of thinking. We've got to be at war against this. We've got to understand what's happening. That's why we need discernment. We need understanding of the time. We need to know that this is an attack of the enemy that is trying to reformat our thinking and reformat what we accept and what we believe. And so discernment enabled them, the sons of Issachar, to see beyond the natural and to see behind the scenes. And this ability, supernatural ability, gave them the advantage over the enemy. Because they weren't controlled and they weren't dominated by what they saw, felt, or heard in the natural. How many understand what I'm saying today? That's why we need discernment. We need to be the spiritual sons of Issachar today, who have understanding of the times and know what to do. And so I'm going to say it again. Our survival today depends on being able to discern the spiritual climate that we're in and what to do. Well, what time is it in America? I'm going to start by telling you what time it isn't. It isn't time for complaining. It isn't time for criticizing. It isn't time for becoming weary and depressed. And it isn't time to bury our heads in the sand and pretend like everything's fine. It isn't time to join the doubters and the cynics. It isn't time for a who cares anyway attitude. And it isn't time to say, well, what difference does it make? I can't do anything about it. Even my vote doesn't count. So what difference does it make anyway? Well, I'm going to tell you something. It makes a lot of difference. If everybody had that attitude, it wouldn't make any difference at all. But if you've got the right attitude and you understand, I'm going to do what I can do. I'm going to do what I can do. I'm going to trust God to do what I can't do. I'm going to pray and I'm going to vote. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray and I'm going to vote. Somebody says you shouldn't talk about stuff like that. Politics shouldn't get into the pulpit. We're not talking about politics. We're talking about saving the country. We're talking about voting for righteousness, voting for right. You don't have to be a prophet to understand it's a wrong vote to vote for baby killers. You don't have to be a prophet to understand it's a wrong vote to vote for transgender affirming surgery. You don't have to be a prophet to understand these things. You just got to have a little common sense. You got to have a little bit of the Bible in your life that tells you right from wrong. Now I'm going to tell you what time it is. It's time to put on the whole armor of God. It's time to take the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus and the word of God and pray, pray, pray. Pray like the fate of this country depends on it, because it does. Pray like your prayer can make a difference, because it can. See, I'm telling you something. You don't have to be a prophet to know this. When schools are encouraging the presence of activities of drag queens on every campus, it's time to pray. And I know we're not talking about 15 years old and above. We're talking about little kids and our school systems encouraging, wanting, soliciting the presence activities of drag queens on their campus. Friends, it's time to pray. Yeah.
That's right.
When boys are invading the girls' locker rooms, competing in the girls' sports, it's time to pray. When children are encouraged to determine their own gender based on their emotional state at the time, it's time to pray. When pedophiles are no longer called pedophiles, but just adults with minor attraction, my friend, it's time to pray. When streets are filled with angry protesters demanding the legal right to murder their babies, it's time to pray. When schools are required to put litter boxes in the restrooms, tampons in the boys' restroom, it's time to pray. When transgender persons are standing behind pulpits in our country, holding the highest offices in our country, it's time to pray.
Amen.
When suicide is at an all-time high in our country, it's time to pray. When it's being told for truth that men can menstruate and become pregnant, it's time to pray. When violence in many of our cities has doubled and tripled, theft and rape and murder is off the scale, it's time to pray. When fentanyl poisoning is killing 100 or more people a day, it's time to pray. When abortions are over 600,000 a year, it's time to pray. When doctors and medical institutions are performing gender-affirming surgeries on children and teenagers, meaning they are actually removing body parts or adding body parts or giving them, castrating them through hormones and chemicals. Friends, it's time to pray.
Amen.
When inflation is at an all-time high, it's time to pray. When our country is being flooded with the worst criminals and the most deranged people that other countries don't want, and they're sending them here, it's time to pray. Well, it's about time. That's what I hear God saying. Well, it's about time you figured it out. You say, Pastor, all that stuff sounds depressing. I know. And I'm going to tell you something. That, what I just said to you, everything I just said to you and more, that's the real state of the union. Friend, it really is. That's the real state of the union that Biden didn't want to talk about. He didn't want to mention the real state of the union, but that's where we're at today. That's the true condition of this country. And the only thing that can turn this ship around is a move of God. The only thing that can turn this around is a Red Sea miracle where God comes in and takes the wheels off their chariots and he buries them in the sand and he drowns them in the Red Sea. There's only one way to get God to move like that, and it's called prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. They're good prayers for little kids, but I'll tell you, that's not what we need today. We need prevailing prayers. We need old-fashioned, pound the wall, walk the floor, prevailing prayer. We need Elijah-style, red-hot, fervent, head between the knees, birthing position prayers. Don't even give me that whiny, wimpy, limp-wristed, jelly-back attitude. It says, well, what difference can we make? I'm going to tell you something. You can make a difference. If you're living right with God, the Bible said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, it avails much. Hallelujah. The Amplified Bible says the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Woo! Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you can make a difference. You can make a difference. Now I want you to keep in mind that that scripture was talking about one man, Elijah. When he prayed, it made a difference. So keep that in mind, because we are more than one. And the power is multiplied and magnified. And it's a tragedy today that the greatest power that there is on the earth is so overlooked. And we suffer so much at the hands of the enemy that we could put under our feet if we would just take time to pray.
Amen.
It's not that the enemy is so strong, it's because we so often fail to use the greatest weapon in our arsenal. Right. which is prayer. Ecclesiastes 3 and 1 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. And friends, listen, it's time to pray. And it's time to pray like never before. We are 8 to 9 months away from something that is going to determine the fate of this country. We have never stood at this place before. This is the most serious time of the history of the United States of America. What is going to happen on November the 5th is going to determine whether your children, your grandchildren are going to live in a free America or a bondage and slavery and communism, Marxism. Somebody said, I didn't know it was going to get this heavy. Well, I'm going to tell you something. When the house is burning down, you better do something. You don't just run around with a cup of water saying, where's the fire? The house is burning down. The house is burning down. America is at a crossroad. We're at a place where it's going to go one way or the other. That's the bottom line. It will go one way or the other. If it goes the right way, we're going to see a reformation in this nation. We're going to see things reset. And I believe that's the will of God. I believe that's the plan of God, to put things back like they're supposed to be, to give us righteous judges that will rule according to the law and not use the law for lawfare and persecuting political opponents. But This time we're in, discerning the time, discerning the season, it's critical that we do everything we can do. And the most important thing we can do is pray. Because if you do everything else and don't pray, you still leave God out of the equation. And we need God in the equation. More than we need anything else, we need God in the equation. But after you pray, you got to get up, get on your feet, get started, and do something.
Amen.
Tell people, you better pray. You better make the right decision. You better vote. Do you know that if Christians voted, just the Christians that have sat at home on their hands because they didn't like maybe some mean tweets or something, didn't like the orange man's hair. I don't know why they didn't vote, but I'm going to tell you something. For years and years and years, millions of Christians haven't voted. We need to get up and move like a well-oiled machine and an army of God. And says we are taking our country back from the hand of the enemy. And we're not just going to sit on our hands and complain about what happens. But we are going to fight the good fight of faith. We're going to pray and then we're going to go and vote. This is spiritual warfare. It's not political. It's spiritual warfare. And if we don't get in the fight, we're going to lose this country. Simple, plain, to the point. And then you're going to sit back and you're going to cry. And you're going to say, why did this happen? It happened because people didn't care enough to call upon the God of heaven. Didn't care enough to obey the first command that I read to you. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Now, I know there's wicked people in this country, and some of them are never going to turn from their wicked ways. But he's not talking about them. He's talking about his people. He's talking about the church. He's talking about the ones that say they love him and the ones that say they're serving him and they're worshiping him and they fill the houses every Sunday, the houses of worship. He said, those are the ones I'm talking to. You humble yourself. You pray. You seek my face. You turn from your wicked ways.
That's right.
Then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. What time is it? It's time to pray. What is God saying? Well,
it's about time.
Prayer is the divine commission. Luke 18:1, he spoke a parable. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 said, pray without ceasing. 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Prayerlessness is not just considered a laziness or a character flaw. Prayerlessness is considered sin. In 1 Samuel 12:23, he said, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Psalms 10:4 said, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. The proud won't seek God, and the proud are called the wicked. To not pray is to blatantly declare our independence from God and to declare our self-sufficiency apart from God. Friend, listen to this. There's no deliverer from Egypt's bondage without prayer. There would have never been a Moses without the cry of the people. There would have been no Samuel the prophet without the prayer of Hannah. There would have been no fire on Mount Carmel without Elijah's prayer. There would have been no manna from heaven in the wilderness without prayer. There would have been no sacrificial Savior without prayer. And there is no change in this nation and no revival without prayer. God has so ordained it that everything in the earth must be carried in the spiritual womb of his children and birthed in the spirit of prayer. Before Hannah was pregnant with Samuel, she conceived him in the spirit of prayer. For this child, she said, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition. Now we can talk about a change, we can talk about a harvest, we can talk about revival, we can talk about reformation and reset. But I'm telling you something, without prayer, nothing is going to happen.
That's right.
Amen.
Nothing will happen. Prayer is where we're impregnated with the plans of heaven. In prayer, ministries are conceived. In prayer, nations are conceived. In Psalms 2:8, he said, ask of me, I will give you the heathen for your inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. Listen to what he said. He said, if you pray, I will give you the heathen. I will give you the nations of the earth. Can we just believe that if we pray, God can give us America? If we pray, God can give us back our country? If we pray, God can turn this nation around? If he can give us the nations of the earth, can he not give us America?
That's right.
For years and years and years, a man named Reinhard Bonnke blazed a trail, a big trail, a whirlwind tornado trail through Africa, preaching the gospel with miracles, signs, and wonders. And his message was, all of Africa shall be saved. And millions and millions and probably billions of souls came into the kingdom because of his ministry. And now it's carried on by Daniel Kalinda, and it's still going on strong in Africa. But just before Reinhardt's going home, his home going, he came to America. He came back to America. He said to America, he prophesied to America the same thing that he had prophesied over Africa. And I believe it was a God-ordained thing to send him back to America, to stand on these stages before his passing and before his home going and prophesy into the midst of this wicked, perverse culture and environment and say, all of America shall be saved.
Amen.
All of America shall be saved. That's what we need to pray. God, save America. Lord, you sent a prophet to tell us America shall be saved. The position of prayer, it doesn't mean that you're on your knees. You can be on your knees. You can be walking. You can be laying out on the floor. It doesn't matter. It's the position of the heart. It's called humility, submission, yieldedness, obedience, lowliness. It speaks of dependence. It means, God, I am here below you, under you, needing your assistance. In Isaiah 57:15, it said, thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabit eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Friend, that's what we need in America. We need a spirit of humility. We need a spirit of brokenness. We need a spirit of contriteness that says before God, Lord, we are helpless and hopeless. Without you, we can't do nothing. Without you, we're sunk. God, we need divine assistance. We're looking to the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. God, help us. We need help. You know, one of the most powerful prayers there is help. 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 You say, I don't know what to pray. Pray this. Help. That'll go a long way. Help. The intention of prayer is what? Seek my face. For too long, all we've been interested in is what God can do for us. And when we truly seek His face, our desire will be, what pleases you, God? The intention of prayer is to find out what is on God's heart and what is on His mind. And prayer is our divine connection with heaven. Through prayer, we bring the purposes of God in the heavenlies into manifestation in the earth. Prayer is the gate of heaven through which all of God's provision and His power and glory enter. And the most amazing thing about prayer is God has given us a helper to pray. And this helper knows how to pray because He is the Spirit of prayer. He's the Spirit of grace and supplication. He is the Holy Spirit. And Romans 8:26 says, likewise the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps our infirmities, which means our weaknesses, our inabilities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So when you don't know what to pray, you say, Helper, I'm turning it over to you. Holy Spirit, my helper, I thank you that you can make intercession through me. And I don't have to understand what's happening. I don't have to understand the groans. I don't have to understand the moans. I don't have to understand the tongues. I don't have to understand what's happening. I don't have to understand it. I just know you're making intercession for me. For our country. For our people. For our families. Now, Lord, they said in Acts 4:29-31, now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. By stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. John 14:12-14. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask, that's prayer, in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. All week long, I've been before the Lord. I said, Lord, what is on your heart for your people? And this is what he told me. He said, tell my people it's time to pray. Amen. He said, this is what the Lord told me. He said, impress upon their minds the urgency of the hour. Tell them this is do or die time for their country. Tell them the future of their children and their grandchildren is hanging in the balance. Tell them if they will humble themselves and cry out to me, I will answer and I will move my hand over this country and I will overturn the verdicts of the wicked. Tell them if they will humble themselves and pray, I will remove the wicked from their places and I will fill their seats with my righteous ones. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! Woo! Now I'm going to say something that may be a little controversial, but how many know that I'm not really too much afraid of that? As long as I know I'm scriptural. When I need an intercessor, I'm not going to call President Trump. I don't think he's anointed for that. But when I need somebody to close the borders, and I need somebody to get rid of this transgenderism craziness, I need somebody like that. Somebody that's anointed for that. And some people think that God only anoints people that are carrying a Bible and go to church all the time. But read your Bible, you'll find out that God selects people. He puts his hand upon them for certain things. I believe that this man, Donald J. Trump, has the hand of God on his life.
Amen.
I believe that. I believe that God has been walking him through the fiery furnace. Like Daniel and like the three Hebrew boys. And Daniel in the lion's den. How in the world could you walk through what you're walking through, that he's walking through, without the hand of God on your life?
Amen.
And still got his sanity. Still strong. Just a few days ago, they put in new head to the RNC. Michael Whatley, Laura Trump is the, what is her position?
Co-chair.
Okay. Immediately, you're fired. That same anointing is on her father-in-law. Is on her. They're cleaning house. But we need the house to get clean.
Amen.
We need to get rid of the rhinos and the wimpos. And God will put people in positions that you might not choose. I heard her say a naughty word the other day, and I'm like, ugh. I heard her say a naughty word, and I was shocked. I was like, ugh. Not Laura. Yeah. I was believing that God was going to use her. God is going to use her.
That's right.
God is using her.
That's right.
Already.
Yes.
We're going to have to let God use who he wants to use and do it his way.
Yeah.
Our part is to pray.
Amen.
Our part is to pray.
Amen.
I'm not and vote.
Yes.
Yeah.
Somebody said the other day, you know, Lord help me, I'm really in this deep today. Mike Pence. He said, I cannot in all good conscience endorse Donald J. Trump. And I'm like, who can you with all good conscience endorse then? Who else is there? What are you saying? I'm not going to vote. You are voting already. By standing up and saying that, you already showed your colors.
Yes.
See, we got to wake up in this country. We're not stupid.
Amen.
We're not as dumb as they thought we were.
That's right.
We're not as ignorant as they thought we were. They thought we were all stupid. They thought they could lie to us and gaslight us and trick us, and we would all just swallow the pill and we'd just go along, drink the Kool-Aid. But friends, some people are waking up and they're saying, no Kool-Aid here. We're going to stay with the Word. We're going to stay with the Word. No, I wouldn't call Laura Trump. I wouldn't call Donald Trump to be my intercessor. But they can do the job that they're anointed for.
Amen.
You got to warn people. Got to warn them. The devil's serious about destroying this country. We got to be serious about seeing it saved and seeing it delivered.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, I still believe, in spite of every negative thing I've said, I still believe the greatest visitation of the glory of God that's ever touched planet Earth. It's here. It's right here. We're standing on the threshold, and it's going to come in through the prayers of the saints, through the prevailing prayers of God's people. They're going to usher in the move of God. They're going to usher in a reformation in this country.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah! Do you know that's why they're gone so crazy? That's why they are doing everything. That's why they're breaking every law that there is. That's why they're just going crazy, doing every stupid, foolish, ignorant, insane thing that you can think of doing, because they know that we're so close to a change. They know we're so close to a reformation. It's not just going to be a little relief. We're going to see a reformation where God puts things back like they're supposed to be.
Amen.
I read a scripture one time, and I felt like it's in the book of Psalms. It was David. He said, Lord, if the foundations of the righteous are destroyed, or if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I read that, and I felt like I entered into David's grief and sorrow, because there's another place where David said, Lord, it's time for you to work because they have voided your laws. And I felt like I entered into David's grief and said, oh, and I was like, for just a minute or so, I kind of got in there and wallowed around with him. And I'm like, oh yeah, God, the foundations are being destroyed. The foundations of the family are being destroyed. We don't even know what a real family looks like anymore. The structure of the family is being destroyed. Our women, our children. And the Lord said, shut up. I said, what? He said, that's not the answer. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, what the righteous do is they raise up the foundations of many generations. What are we supposed to do when the foundations of the righteous are destroyed or broken down? We're supposed to build them up again.
Amen.
We're supposed to restore them again. We're supposed to rebuild the wall. Everybody say, build that wall.
Build that wall.
Nehemiah was anointed to build the wall. Donald Trump, you're anointed to build the wall.
Amen. Yes.
Yeah.
Build the wall.
Yeah.
Elijah, through prayer, tapped into heaven's resources, and the fire came. Elijah prayed, and heaven answered. Nothing is going to happen in this nation except bad if the people of God don't pray. We got to pray. And we got to pray like we've never prayed in our life, because we're in a state that we've never been before. We're facing something we never faced before. It's amazing what quiet, meek, timid, humble, quiet, spirited people do when they're facing emergencies.
Yeah.
I saw a woman one day run out of her house. I never heard a peep out of her before. But I saw a car, a pickup, run over her little boy.
caught his head between the pickup chassis and the cement, the wall, the asphalt. And he was driving, and he was dragging him underneath the truck. I saw a mama I never heard anything from before run out of the house, screaming her head off. Stop! Making every kind of noise, movement you could possibly make. Stop. Yelling her head off. Dignity was gone. She could have been in her underwear. It would not have mattered. Her little baby was underneath that truck being drugged by the head. There comes a time when all that decorum, all that, I don't know what people are going to think about me if I cry. I don't know what people are going to think about me if my makeup runs. Maybe if my wig gets twisted. I don't know what people are going to think about me. What do you care what people are thinking about you? The country is burning down. Your children are being dragged. We're seeing the rape of a nation taking place in front of our eyes. I'm telling you, if we don't see a change in 2024, you're going to see every city, every state in the United States of America overrun by illegals. And illegals doesn't mean Mexican. It means every kind of illegal you can think of that are just coming in here, disregarding our laws, bringing in their philosophies, bringing in their religions, bringing in their ideology, bringing in their hate for America, bringing in their diseases. You're going to see crime go to a place that's never happened in this country. If we don't see a turnaround, November 5th. And let me say while we're on the subject right here, don't wait until the day of to vote. Don't wait until the day of. And then when you do vote, you got to go online and make sure your vote got counted. Got to go on and make sure your vote got counted. And make sure it's in the right category. We're in a wicked world. The Bible says to us, it says, be wise as serpents, but be harmless as doves. We can't be ignorant anymore. We got to be smart. We can't trust people like we used to trust. Just blindly trust. You got to earn my trust.
Yeah, that's right.
You see what I'm saying? You got to earn my trust. I can love you without you doing anything. But you got to earn my trust. In this country, we got to learn how to not give our trust away. It has to be earned.
Yeah, that's right.
Just stand. Those of you that need prayer, we're going to pray for you at the end of the service. So don't think that we forgot you. But this is the issue right now we need to address. You could go home right now and you could say, Pastor, boy, that really challenged me. And I'm going to think about that. We got to do more than think about it. We got to pray about it. We got to pray about it. Look at your neighbor. Look at somebody and tell them, say, friend. This is serious. See, the house is burning down. See, the child are being dragged under the car. We got to do something. They're dragging our children away. We got to do something. They're dragging our country away. We got to do something. What are we going to do? We're going to pray. What is heaven saying? Well, it's about time.
Amen.
You should reach out, join hands with somebody today, because one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight. And I want you to open your mouth today, and I want you to pray to the God of heaven. And if you don't have a large vocabulary, you can start with help. 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 God, we need help. We need help. We need help, God. We're a really proud people. We don't like feeling
helpless. We don't like feeling like we're in debt. We don't like feeling like we need something, but we do need something. We need something. We need help. We need help that only comes from you, Lord. It's me again, Lord. We need help that only you can provide. Is that the way you pray if your children are being dragged away under a car? Is that the way you pray if you're watching your child being raped? Is that the way you pray? Oh God, we need a divine intervention in this country. We need you to stretch out your hand against the powers of darkness. We need you, Lord, to throw down the plans of the wicked. We need you, Lord, to intervene. We need you to interject yourself into our judicial system. Lord, we have watched the perversion of our judicial system, the CIA, the DOJ, Lord. We have watched them, Lord, be perverted. We have watched them be twisted and being used for evil purposes. Lord, we have watched the judicial system, and we have watched the lawyers, and we have watched the judges rule, Lord, out of a political agenda. Lord, we need help in this nation. We need help in this country. We heard Biden say one of the first things he would do is put Roe back in. Lord, we need help in this country. We need help in this nation. God, we need deliverance from the plans of the wicked. We need deliverance from Satan's agenda. We need a deliverance, Lord. We need a breakthrough. We need a reformation. We need a miracle. We need you to show up in our churches. We need you to show up in our homes. We need you to wake up the sleepy Christians and get them out to the polls. We need you, God, to move by your spirit and power. We need miracles. We need signs. We need wonders. We need you to pull the wheels off their chariots. We need you to bury them in the Red Sea, God. Lord, we need breakthrough. We need breakthrough, God. Lord, we pray for every Christian in this country, Lord, to be stirred up, to be woke up, Lord, to get up off their seat and do nothing, God. Lord, and get to the polls. We need them to vote with their feet and with their voice. We need them to vote in prayer. Oh, God, we pray for the prayer warriors. Lord, that you wake up the intercessors, oh, God, in this country, Lord God. Stir up the intercessors in our church, Lord God. Stir up the intercessors in this nation, oh, God, because we can't do it. We can't do it. We can't do it, oh, God. Oh, we need help, Lord. We need a revival, Lord. We need an awakening, Lord, from the pulpit to the pew, God. Lord, all these limp-wristed, jelly-backed preachers, Lord, that are preaching sugar-coated messages that won't tell the truth anymore because they're afraid of losing support or losing seats in the seat. Oh, God, we pray right now, God, for a divine removal, Lord, that you will move them from their places, God. You give us men of faith. Give us men of courage. Give us women of courage. Give us women of authority and boldness that know the times, that understand the seasons, Lord, that will stand and thunder the gospel of truth, that will call men to repentance. We need help. We need help. Help us, Jesus. Help us, God. 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 We don't have much time. Help us, God. We don't have much time. They're after our children. We've seen it day after day. They're stealing them right out of our homes. They're stealing them right out from under the parents' noses. They're twisting their minds. Their little babies think they're kitties and think they're doggies and puppies. Oh, they're little babies, Lord. They're already, Lord, at 5 years old, already questioning whether they're the gender of the body. Lord, there's no such thing as gender. There's male and female. That's the way you made it in the beginning. That's the way it stays. That's the way it is. You're the creator. We need help. We need help. We need help, Lord. If you pray in the Holy Ghost, right here's a good place. We do a little spiritual warfare here. We pull down strongholds. We pull down imagination. We pull down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We pull it down in the name of Jesus. We pull it down. Satan, your kingdom is coming down. We're not going to sit back and watch you steal our country. We're not going to sit back and watch you steal our children and our grandchildren out from under our noses. We're not going to watch you rape this nation. We're not going to watch it without a fight. Our God is greater. Our God is mighty. Our God is able. He's done it before. He'll do it again. Every attempt to steal this election, we put it under our feet. Every attempt to manipulate this election, we put it under our feet. Every election interference, we put it under our feet. In the name of Jesus. The kingdom's coming down. Kingdom's coming down. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We can either be part of the solution or we can be part of the problem. We can be part of the solution, or we can be part of the problem. Father, we worship you. We worship you over this nation. We worship you over our country. We worship you over the Supreme Court. We worship you, Lord, over New York, Lord. We worship you over Georgia. We worship you over the states of this nation. We worship you over the capital. You are God. Oh, we worship you. Worship you. Jesus, we worship you. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. Worship you, Lord. Worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want Brother Jack and I want Sister Sissy to come, please, if you would. Brother Jack, Sister Sissy, would you come? Brother, is Brother Jeff present? Had to go. Well, would you come and represent him then? Yes, Sister Sheila, if you would. And you can tell them everything I'm going to say. We are so blessed to have warriors like Sister Sissy and Brother Jack. Brother Jack has went on interviews on the radio, and he's taken on some very, very mean-spirited people. I mean, calling people, not hosting, but people that call in and have some attitudes, and for the most part, it's been civil. But to step out into that arena, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. And for Sister Sissy to do what she's doing, that's a big deal. And for her to understand that it's not just the
physical part that she's involved in, but there's a spiritual element there. She needs to be covered. She needs to be lifted up. She's a warrior. Jack is a warrior. God is using Brother Jack in a powerful way. And we're thankful for it. And we're going to pray. Won't you stretch your hands this way, church? Father, we pray over Sister Sissy, Brother Scott as well, Brother Jack, Sister Sheila. Lord, they have stepped into an arena of warfare. And they've done it, Lord, because they love your truth. I thank you for your hand upon them, Lord, for this day and this hour. They're needed. They're needed. We thank you for them, Lord. We thank you for the boldness and the courage you put in Sister Sissy, Lord. Oh, Lord, what a lion-hearted woman she is. Lord, and you're using her far beyond what she can imagine right now, far beyond what she thinks. Lord, and sometimes I know the enemy would say, what are you doing? It's not really counting, but the devil is a liar. It's making a difference. It's making a difference. And Lord, we thank you for the difference makers that they are. Brother Jack, Sister Sissy, Sister Sheila, Brother Scott. Lord, this church is thankful for them. Lord, we thank you for their frontline courage to face the enemy. Lord, let your anointing come mightily upon them today. In the name of Jesus. Wow. In Jesus' name. Lord, as you said to Joshua, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing. And thank you for the courage that you put in their hearts. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Can you give the Lord a hand clap for them today? I just felt I needed to do that. Sister Billy, would you come? Sister Billy wants prayer today. Sister Billy. Brother Eric stepped out, but we're going to pray for Brother Eric. Brother Eric is, he's a young man that got saved in one of our first Fridays. Brother Ernesto's grandson. And he is really progressing. He's really progressing. God is really working in his life. In fact, very soon we're going to have a testimony from him. He's going to be sharing. He's come a long way in a short time. And he recognizes how important this church is to him. You mean a lot to him. So love on him when he's here. And I don't mean just, you know, drown him. I just mean love on him. Right? Because we can drown people. So we don't want to drown them. We just want to let them know that we love them and appreciate them. But God is doing a work in Eric's life. He's doing some things. He's moving forward in his work life. And he needs God's help in that area. So we're going to pray for him. And I want you to stretch your hands toward me today. Father, we thank you for Eric. Lord, you're doing a work in his life. We know it's real. It's genuine. I guess they had to step out, Lord. But I know his heart is here. He wants this prayer. I ask you to move in his life, Lord. I ask you to open the doors that need to open. I ask you to close any doors, Lord, that need to be closed. I ask you, Lord, that any remarks or marks from the past that would try to hinder his life moving forward, that you would just remove it, Lord. That the blood of Jesus will just wash it away. Will just wipe it out, Lord. Every mark that's against him, Lord, that you would just wipe it out. And that you will help him to move forward and be that man that you have ordained him to, destined him to be. You've got a plan for his life. He knows that already. Already he's recognized that. Already he's closed the door to a life that he came from. And you're working miracles in his life. And we thank you for Eric, Lord, and what you're doing and going to do in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for Sister Billy today. Lord, she's had some pain in her neck, and we believe that you're going to touch her right now. And you're going to touch her, and you're going to do a miracle for her, Lord. And
Lord, if you use doctors, we're not opposed to doctors. We're not opposed to medicines, Lord. We thank you for touching her right now in the name of Jesus. We anoint her in faith, God, that you touch this neck right now. Be healed in Jesus' name. Every muscle relaxed right now in the name of Jesus. Let all pain leave her body in the name of Jesus. By your stripes we were healed. Lord, her body is your temple, Lord. Make it whole in the name of Jesus. For your glory. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. We believe it, Lord. We believe and receive it. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Woo. Praise you, Jesus. Sister Lola, yes. Everybody stretch your hand towards Sister Lola. She's been having maybe a negative reaction to some medicines that she's taken. We're not really positive, but it's not been an effect that she's enjoyed at all. And so we just need to pray that the Lord will touch her today and just take this away. In Jesus' name, Lord, thank you for touching your servant. Thank you for touching Sister Lola, Lord. We curse this attack on her body. Devil, you're a liar. This body is God's vessel. She belongs to Jesus. Lord, we thank you that the healing virtue flows through her eyes, through her body. In Jesus' name, her bloodstream be purified right now. Anything, Lord, that shouldn't be there, let it be purged out. In the name of Jesus, let the healing virtue flow. Yes, Lord, let that strength flow through her body right now. Jesus, Jesus' name. Devil, you're a liar. You are a liar. Get your hands off of this vessel of God. Get your hands off God's property. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Is there anybody else that needs prayer? Praise God. Now, please, don't let this be an end. Let this be a catalyst. And we move forward in this. Pray, 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 pray. Take this time that we've got up until this election and saturate it in prayer. I mean bold, aggressive, heartfelt courage and prayer. Pray like we've never prayed. Because we're at a place where we've never been before. Amen. And when you pray, don't pray hopeless prayers. Remember I said pray we need help, but don't pray hopeless prayers. Pray the prayer that says, God, we need help. But when people pray hopeless prayers, they're whining. We don't need you to whine, we need you to pray. How many know the difference? We whine and pray. All right. All right, all right. Let's pray. Sister Judy. Yeah.
Thursday when I
asked
to be praying for my buzzing in my ears,
yeah.
It cleared up.
Thank you, Jesus. That's a big deal right there.
It was like night and day when it cleared up. God, it's okay. It's gone. Praise God.
Woo! Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, man. Somebody said, well, that don't sound like a big deal. You let it happen to you. You think that's a big deal. That's a huge deal. Amen. Praise God. Father, we love you. Thank you for this day. We believe we've heard from heaven. And we also believe that we have been charged with a responsibility today, Lord, to seek your face, to pray like we never prayed before. Go with each one of us, Lord, and follow us, Lord, to our prayer closets. Be with us, Lord, in a place of power with you. Lord, I cover every person here with the blood of Jesus. I cover every part of our congregation with the blood of Jesus. I thank you for keeping your hand upon us all. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. What time is it?